from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
Well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Wednesday afternoon on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, we appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for sharing some time with us today. It's a good day here. Having a good day, Tater.
It's a great wrestling Wednesday.
It is a great wrestling Wednesday.
Especially with the Astros trying to get the silver boot, which I didn't know was a thing.
I think you just made that up.
I didn't. This out today. This is the last game of between the Rangers and the Astros this year, which seems early. August 7th.
It feels like a regional.
You feel
rivalry,
like that should be the like end of the,
like
end
if
of
it's
the
not
year.
The last series, it should be one of like the final three series.
Yeah, but apparently they play for a silver boot. I had no idea.
Doesn't someone in college football play for a silver boot?
No, probably. This is very college football. Leave it to Texas to be like, how can we college football up this baseball?
You know, one thing I didn't know existed in college football, and as far as the rivalry awards, Colorado State and Air Force. They have the Ram Falcon.
Yeah, that sounds about
right. I'm like, could you...
Wait, is it a Falcon with Ram horns?
No.
Because if it is... Now we're talking.
No, it's just, it's like a
ram with talons.
No. It's a ram, like, being attacked by a falcon.
All right.
They just call it the Ram Falcon Trophy. I'm like, you couldn't get more creative than that?
No, I'm on board with it. We need more trophies in college. I think every game should be a trophy game. Every single one. I mean, the fact that Oregon and Oregon State, they need to play for the Platypus Trophy every year. That needs to be a bigger deal.
The Platy.
Yeah, the Platypus Trophy needs to be a thing. Oregon and Washington, they need some sort of trophy that they need to play for, because now it's your Thanksgiving weekend rivalry. It's the last game of the regular season for both of them. They need trophies that they're playing for here.
The Dusky?
Especially when you are in the Big Ten, because every damn game is a trophy game in the Big Ten. You've got a pig, you've got a spittoon, you got Paul Bunyan's axe.
Who's got the spittoon?
I think that is, I don't know. It's Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin, maybe?
I had a spittoon once.
I don't know.
Like an actual, like, dyed-in-the-wool spittoon.
All right.
It's terrifying.
Did you use it a lot?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, we kept it out on
that
the,
sounds gross, dude.
No, we kept it out on the patio in tech school.
All right.
Like, it was like a motel-style barracks. So we had like the big open walkways in front of all the rooms.
All right, here we go. Oh, it's Indiana, Michigan State. They play for the Old Brass Spittoon.
See, that doesn't make any sense. I don't associate a big old chaw with either of those schools.
Why not though? Whatever. It's you play for the Iowa and Minnesota play for the Floyd of Rosedale, which is a pig. You have Iowa and Wisconsin play for a Golden Bull. That's pretty dope. You have Paul Bunyan's axe.
This is great.
That's
one of the better trophies in college football.
Yeah, Paul Bunyan's axe is Minnesota and Wisconsin. You have the Paul Bunyan trophy, which is Michigan and Michigan State. A lot of Paul Bunyan here. We're getting a lot of Paul Bunyan. You have Indiana's got some sneaky good ones.
They got a lot of spare time.
Indiana, Purdue, they play for like a barrel, just a keg.
Okay.
That's pretty dope.
Is it loaded?
No, it's okay. Not. But you need to have it.
I sense a future topic.
Ooh.
Voting on do we do a bracket?
Of best rivalry trophies?
Yeah.
I mean, the Golden Hat is pretty dope too for...
I think we might need to do a bracket.
Yeah. God, you can buy some of these rivalry trophies. $75 you can buy Paul Bunyan's axe.
All I'm thinking is bracket.
Yeah. Yeah. I am too. This is pretty sweet.
This feels like I might need to do some research tonight and come up with how many we doing? 32?
You can buy the Old Brass Spittoon.
Like an actual?
You
like
can buy
theirs?
A replica. Yeah. Oh. A replica of their trophy.
I'd love to just buy theirs.
No, you can't do that. Come on, man.
Be funny. Sell it back to you for 40.
Yeah. Jeez. That's pretty sweet. We need more. We need more trophies in college football.
What are we doing? Do bracket of 32?
Sure. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll put it together. This is stupid enough that I will spend time doing it.
I like that. I like it.
That's the thing that I enjoy doing.
Yeah. This is good. I'm on board.
Okay.
I'm on board. It keeps going back. The Big Ten. Big Ten.
Big Ten, I think, is going to win this as far as like where the winner comes from, but there might be a dark horse somewhere in the country.
Yeah, I mean, the Golden Shillelagh or whatever they
Jeweled
call it.
Shillelagh.
The Jeweled Shillelagh. Yeah,
USC Notre Dame.
That's pretty.
It's a pretty good one.
That's pretty cool.
It's a stupid stick with a bunch of jewels on it.
It sounds like something some random dude would name his unit.
The Jeweled Shillelagh?
Mm-hmm. Check out the old Jeweled Shillelagh.
Kind of hardware you got going on down there.
Whoa. You can bedazzle.
Couple of Prince Alberts.
Yeah.
Willamette and Lewis and Clark, they play for a wagon wheel.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
That's a wagon wheel game, and it's like it's Oregon one of the oldest rivalries west of the Mississippi River. Two D3 teams.
Can
out
I
here.
Just say I
believe
love it.
Willamette is actually the oldest school west of the Mississippi.
Yeah,
sure. I love it when we talk about things, and we qualify it with east or west of the Mississippi.
Yeah,
there's just something very folksy about that.
There's a lot of ground to cover between the Mississippi River and the West Coast.
Significantly more. And it's always like, well, you know, west of the Mississippi. I'm like, oh, you mean most of the country.
Yeah.
Well, geographically speaking, anyway. Yes. Population-wise, different.
I think it's caught up.
Okay. Why do Florida and Miami play for the Seminole War Canoe? Shouldn't Florida State be part of that? They are the Seminoles.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes. I mean,
let's face it. When in the time in the history of this country have they ever cared about what the natives
think? True, but also maybe because both schools hate Florida State, that's why they do it.
Yeah. Boise State and Fresno State play for a milk can. Boy, Fresno State has got some lowbrow trophies. They play for a milk can and an oil can.
How has Jim Harbaugh not been a part of this?
Where's the AA battery rank in there?
Hmm. That's a good question. Mm.
Vancouver Fort text line, West Virginia should play Marshall for their hottest first or second cousin.
Mm. Boy, we got a battle on our hands then.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to use like a 23andMe to decipher.
Like, maybe you could just have like West Virginia Marshall play for the family tree trophy and it's just a stick.
It's a straight line. It's a stick with no branches. A broom handle.
That's mean.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's mean.
If the broom fits. All right, come here.
Play for the gene pool, and it's just a little tiny puddle.
That is so mean.
It's contained. A bucket of water. All right, coming up next, taking a look at Shedeur Sanders and how he fits, strengths, weaknesses, and evaluating what he can or can't do this year to elevate this class of quarterbacks. Coming up on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's see. Today is August 7th.
Ooh, yeah.
We are 20 days from college football? August 27th is the first game, right, for the Ducks?
No, August 31st. The first college football game, though, is, I think we're 15 days away. It is on a
August 24th.
Thursday. Wait, we don't have a Thursday game to kick it off?
Week zero regular season for Division I FBS football.
Oh, boo.
Saturday, August 24th.
All right.
Delaware State at Hawaii.
That sucks.
Is the first.
No, 9 a.m. Florida State, Georgia Tech. In Dublin.
Oh, actually, yeah. In Dublin. Yeah.
Dang. That's a lot longer than I thought.
So we are still 20 days. Or not 20 days.
Nope.
I can't math.
17 days.
17 days.
There
you go. Less than 3 weeks away.
Yeah. Less than 3 weeks. Let's go. I'm excited for this college football season. I think we got so many. With the new conferences and the conference realignment finally coming into play, I just can't wait for it to all get started.
There's a ton of storylines. There's a million things to be worked out. We had Dave Bartu on the other day, Monday, talking about from College Football Matrix. He threw out a hot take that I went, ooh. Colorado, the Fighting Shedeur Sanderses, open up against North Dakota State. A very, very, very good North Dakota State team.
Yeah, and this will be interesting because now we're in the third iteration of North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth iteration of North Dakota State, because they've lost a coach to Wyoming, they lost a coach to Kansas State, now they lose a coach to USC, who's took over as an assistant defensive coordinator, mm-hmm, and linebackers coach. This is truly a this is where you start going, how far is the depth in the bullpen mm-hmm. of coaches at North Dakota State? But it is a powerhouse FCS program.
Yes. And there was a line that Bartu threw in there that definitely made my eyebrows go up. If Colorado loses to North Dakota State, I believe they'll go 0-12.
Now, I haven't gone that far, but we've talked about the fact that the wheels could come off this thing real early. Yep. If they struggle with North Dakota State and win, reality is they are talented enough to beat North Dakota State, even with all the dysfunction that's going surrounding that program.
Just between Shador and Travis Hunter.
You have enough talent to win that game, but then you go, if that one is close, then you go on the road to Nebraska. And this Nebraska team is going to be far different than the one that they eked out last year. Mm-hmm. Then you go on the road to Colorado State, which is a double overtime game last year, and you're looking at that war of attrition. They do not have depth because all of the guys that they brought in, most of them are gone from a year ago, and they still have the same depth problems that they had a year ago. As the season wears on, they're not going to get stronger. They're going to get weaker. We mm-hmm. saw that last year in Pac-12 play. You enter the Big 12 this year, which doesn't have the top-end talent like Oregon or Washington.
But boy, is there a lot of good talent in
there. Is a lot of depth there. Kansas State is going to be good. Arizona is going to be good.
Utah.
In Kansas, also, they have all four of those schools mm-hmm. on their schedule this year. They're going to be tough outs, and they have to go to Texas Tech. And the one thing we know about Texas Tech, really good at home, terrible on the road.
Yes.
And Colorado has to go down to Lubbock.
All the tortillas.
And they go. They have Oklahoma State on their schedule, too. They probably, with Central Florida on there, they have the six toughest teams in the Big 12. Mm-hmm.
With the exception of, I guess Baylor's not there right now.
Baylor's on their schedule, too.
That's where they are. Oh, God. Yeah, so it's not going to go well for them. But right now, because of the way this upcoming 2025 NFL draft class is shaping up, Shador Sanders is looked at as QB2 as of right now. I don't believe in Carson Beck at the next level. I don't really think I believe in him in the college level as far as being a great quarterback as opposed to having insane talent around him. But that's for another day. Shador Sanders, and I think you and I see eye to eye on this, is a very talented thrower. He's got a great arm. He's can make all of the throws. When he has time and he can put touch on the ball, it's pretty. He throws a good ball. I would say a plus decision maker. Very accurate. But he holds on to the ball too long.
I don't think he is a great decision maker because he holds on to the ball too long.
Okay, if you're carrying that.
Because I think that he has windows that he's afraid to throw in.
Okay.
And he got happy feet with a putrid offensive line last year.
Despite what you may or may not think of Prime or Shador, he was playing in front of paper.
But there's also the one way that if you do not have a good offensive line, you get the ball out as quickly as you can. And there were times where a lot of them where he could have thrown the ball, but I think he is so risk averse because he doesn't want to throw interceptions and give the ball back to the other team. He just holds onto the ball, takes a sack instead, which you cannot do in the NFL. You cannot do it in the NFL.
No, but one of the things that scouts and evaluators have said that they do appreciate about Shador is that he does distribute the ball all over the field.
Yes, he does.
Outside, inside, quick decisions, quick routes, longer developing routes, deep to the outside. He's got all the ability to make all of the throws. There's nobody questioning whether or not he can process those reads or make those reads and then complete the throw on them. He has the tools necessary. Now, he does not have the, for whatever reason, the Sanders gene of speed was not blessed across his children. Interesting that one of the fastest humans on the planet didn't have any progeny that were that fast. And it's a little weird, right?
He does seem like the outlier there.
You know, it's just...
Well, maybe Shiloh isn't like a burner on the outside either.
That's what I mean. Like, none of his kids
skips
are really...
Skips a generation.
It just skips a generation. Yeah, it's the elite speed. But so much of what we talked about in Colorado is how much it's just an epic S show.
Yep.
And Shador has not been averse to that, whether it's his other brother who runs social media for Colorado, not doing him any favors today. If you want to go on social media, if you go on Twitter, just search darts only and you will see the worst edited video.
It's very bad.
Of all time.
Very bad.
It's Shador Sanders throwing a deep ball to the corner on the opposite side of the field, and it's edited in a fashion to where it looks like it's an entirely different play where a receiver catches a touchdown in the end zone. Now, the internet sleuths have already kind of gone through it, and it's like, it is the same play. But it's the worst edit ever, and it looks like it's an entirely different play because it looks like it's a ball that might actually have been intercepted. And now you have other universities that are making fun of it.
Yeah, they are getting dragged for that one. It's really bad.
There was video from the Big Ten of Dylan Raiola throwing what appeared to be like a little 5-yard drop-off, and all of a sudden the next edit is a bomb 60 yards downfield.
The best was Arkansas. Arkansas did one where they're just totally mocking Colorado in that the quarterback throws like... like a dig towards the middle of the field, and they edited it to be a high arcing long shot to the opposite sideline. It was great. Yeah. It was fantastic trolling by Arkansas.
Look, everybody's going to take their shots at it. Yeah. And that's what's going to be interesting is how does Colorado, how does Shedeur Sanders, how does Deion Sanders, how do they all manage the expectations? How do they manage his development? How do they get him prepared to be an NFL quarterback? Because that's what Deion, he won't say it, but that's what this has been all about.
Yeah, and look, he's doing a great job of leading the hype train behind him, but if the wheels fall off this year, that will be 2 years in a row. And if Shedeur Sanders is taking shots at teammates on social media like he has been.
Or heaven forbid he gets wrapped up in some, I don't know, some stupid gambling issue.
Well, that was the backup quarterback.
I'm just saying. What's going on in that locker room? It's Gilbert Arenas, Javaris Crittenden levels of stupid in that locker room. Right,
there is not a lot of maturity in that Colorado locker room, and there are bigger issues at play. And look, I feel like if they do struggle with North Dakota State, and then they do start picking up losses early, and guys start pointing fingers, and they can't pull in the same direction and get it back on the right track, Shedeur Sanders, for all of the love that he is getting. As an NFL prospect, that's going to start coming back down to earth because this is not a draft class that is quarterback heavy. Like if Carson Beck is the number one, I think that tells you why teams were so desperate. I mean, we can call it what it is. When you have five quarterbacks taking the first 11 picks, they were all desperate to go and find a quarterback this year because you look at next year's draft class and it's Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers is in that draft class.
The next on the list is Connor Wagman at A&M.
You have Jalen Milroe at Alabama as well, where if you look at guys that could make up a lot of ground on Shedeur Sanders and pass him, look no further than Jalen Milroe, who has Kalen DeBoer as his offensive coordinator and head coach, right? You know, you have DeBoer's system's going to be coming down. You have a wealth of talent that's still going to be around him at the receiver position, and he's got a live arm. He will get a bump this year if he thrives and Shedeur Sanders goes down. Quinn Ewers, if Quinn Ewers can have a big year without Xavier Worthy and without A.D. Mitchell, then you're looking at him and going, well, he lost his two best targets from a year ago, and he's still thriving with Sark, which he should do at Texas.
Especially
this year,
getting Isaiah Bond in.
Because they are going to be really damn good in Texas. And you shouldn't look at the success of your team and say that's going to be the indicator in the NFL. But if Shedeur continues to take sacks, holds onto the ball for too long, even that clip where, you know, it was darts only, you saw him stutter in the pocket instead of slide up. He kind of ducks down, gets scared, and then holds onto the ball for too long and ends up popping it down the field. Mm-hmm. Like, those are things that get you killed in the NFL. And those are things that draft evaluators are going to look at. Shedeur has all of those tools. If that offensive line cannot give him happy feet back in the pocket, where there's not a quarterback alive that would be standing tall in a pocket in waiting to deliver a throw and knowing you're going to get hit if you have the O-line that Colorado has.
Yeah.
Not one in the country.
No.
Not a single one. But if you're not getting the ball out quicker this year and maybe taking a little bit more risk and showing your live arm that he does have, then you're going to see evaluators say, well, does he have it in the NFL level? Because you've got to be able to thread a needle and you've got to be willing to get the ball out quick if your offensive line isn't good.
It's an interesting place to be. He still has to, you know, this year and then to make the transition to the NFL. The book hasn't been written, but it's not a choose your own adventure by any means at this point.
I think a guy, too, to keep an eye on is Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. Because if they have a big year this year, mm-hmm. he is very talented.
No, he is.
He is super talented.
It took him three schools to figure it out, but he's figured it out.
And I think Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, the Duke transfer, he got dinged up last year. He's more of like a bowling ball type.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see what Riley Leonard brings to Notre Dame this year. I like him a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately, he lost his left tackle for the year.
Yep, that's not good.
Problematic. Keeping it in the quarterback world, Nick Saban's got he's got time.
I like this.
And he's got time to educate the Chicago Bears and Matt Eberflus on how to handle Caleb Williams going forward. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
Nick Saban's got time. So what happens when you retire from being the old ball coach?
But he doesn't retire for football. That man can't.
God, no.
Can't quit.
There's no way, shape, matter, or form that man can entirely quit football. And his holistic and philosophical ideas, I think, have evolved over time. But I think specifically as it pertains to quarterbacks, because this is a man who was like, I'm going to win with defense and running backs for 10 years. And then the realization around, 2012? 2013, that he needed quarterbacks.
His offense needed to get out of the Stone Age.
Drastically
ages.
Change.
Yeah.
So he's gone through this. And I mean, I think there's some very direct parallels you can draw to that in the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
This is a franchise that has unquestionably the worst history of offensive production and quarterback play in the entirety of the NFL. And it's not close.
No, they've never had a 4,000 yard passer.
It's the ineptitude reaches levels that no one else can claim. Now, you can talk, oh, they're an outdoor team. They're in the black and blue division. It's like, Green Bay Packers play in colder, crappier, worse weather and have had three Hall of Fame quarterbacks already, of which, if you take parts of their careers, would be better than the combination of any Bears quarterback you could ever mention.
Yeah, and everybody wants to always crack jokes at, the Cleveland Browns and their quarterback situation. Brian Sipe, everybody, 4,000-yard passer.
Hum, babe.
They've only had one, but Brian Sipe did it.
Yeah.
The Bears also, I believe, still have never had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns in a season.
Good God.
That's not good, Bob.
The Bears.
Also, Brian Sipe. 1980, Cleveland Browns.
Even the Browns got it right once.
God, they didn't. Baker didn't take him over 4,000.
No, Baker 3,727 touchdowns.
I would have got that wrong. Yeah. I would have thought he would have thrown for 4,100.
No,
he just clipped it.
No, poor Baker. Derek Anderson got close though, 3,787 and 29 touchdowns.
Ooh, almost 4,030.
Yeah, that's a Pro Bowl year, buddy.
Again. Pro Bowl quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Bears, they haven't many of those. How many?
Sexy Rexy, Jim McMahon. But you know what? The one thing the Bears have had is futility at quarterback, but they've won a Super Bowl with the most dominant defense in NFL history. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, went to a Super Bowl with a dominant defense and with Rex Grossman.
With Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
So, again, drawing on those parallels, shout out the some really great footage back and forth between Nick Saban and Matt Eberflus on Hard Knocks. Just holistically, how the Bears can prepare to have Caleb Williams be successful.
Here's my theory on why NFL quarterbacks fail at such a dramatic rate. Mm-hmm. To me, expectations are a killer. This kid's got so much media, so much hype, so much expectation on doing well. And he has to develop so quickly to meet the expectations that everybody has for him, it's almost impossible. The expectations are a killer. Mm-hmm. But yet, to use your word, development is the key for him. You know, like Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions when he was a rookie. It's the most in the history of all.
Manning looks to throw, tipped and intercepted.
It's unbelievable.
Put the nail on it.
But it didn't affect them. It's like the scoreboard. The scoreboard don't mean anything until the game's over.
You and I have talked about this a bunch off air over the last couple of years in the sense of how quarterback development, and you are certainly, I think, more lenient on guys and giving them more and more opportunities to show things.
Because history will tell you that environment and your coach and your system, they matter.
They matter a ton. And I 100% agree with you. But I also think that there's also the staggering majority of evidence is that you've got to show something. Even in the microcosm of, my God, the Bears had nothing around Justin Fields, I don't think he's going to go to Pittsburgh where he's going to have a better offensive line and have some semblance of an offense around him. He's going to look leaps and bounds better.
No, I won't say the guys are trash and then you go, well, everything around him was trash.
Yeah, no.
You know, I think Justin Fields can be serviceable.
Sure.
I don't think he is ever going to be an all-pro or worthy of a top five pick by any measure, but I think he was the 10th overall pick,
to
right?
11th?
Yeah, he was in there. It was just he was in Chicago. They were hoping for a savior, and they had nothing around him.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, there were people ready to write off Josh Allen and Jordan Love and Jared Goff, and people were like, they're bums. I will look at a guy and be like, I don't know, man. There's not a whole hell of a lot around him.
And I think I'm not on the way of bums. Bryce Young. I might be there with him, but
again 1 year it's the most, the worst offense in the league around
it, it might be one of the worst offenses ever, which is why I caveat that, but also saw nothing from him that where I was like, well, maybe. And I think that's
were you watching a lot of Carolina Panthers games?
Unfortunately, I did watch a lot of Panthers games.
Why?
Because I like watching rookies. I'm okay. Sick. But in general, I do agree with what Saban is saying, because even in Peyton Manning's rookie year, where he led the league in interceptions, and they went, what, 4-12?
Mm-hmm.
You still saw the glimpses with Peyton, even when it was, oh, God, that's terrible. Oh, that's terrible. You still could understand what that was. And if you go back and look at that 4-12 team, there were weapons on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And he still was a complete S show. But there was a belief, there was an understanding, there was that, hey, it'll be there. And I think that, number one, that level of patience in the NFL doesn't exist anymore. I don't think Peyton Manning level of patience where, to be honest, I think the comparison you draw almost is Scoot Henderson, where as such a high-level pick, the stats were so underwhelming.
Yeah.
But the difference, I think, between Peyton and Scoot is that Peyton did have legitimate moments of, oh, that's different. That's processing. That's special. That's, you know what I mean? You could feel it. There was something there that was like, look, I know X, Y, and Z aren't good, but boy, A, B, and C, you know that there's something there and you can keep mining that. And I think even in the worst situations, the worst circumstances, I think Saban, especially what he's saying there, is you've got to cultivate that. You've got to hold on to that.
I think one thing that Chicago has done a really good job, though, is that they committed to improving the offensive line. They improved the weapons by leaps and bounds. This is nowhere near the offense that Justin Fields had around him. And Caleb Williams gets the ability to step in and have actually a chance to prove himself. Also, I think there's a part of Caleb Williams where he is part of the factory that has developed him to get to this point where, you know, Nick Saban's talking about the expectations that are being held against him and will be held against him. He's okay with that because those expectations have been there since he was an eighth grader.
Yeah, and him and his father helped build those expectations.
Exactly.
Like, that was part of the deal, was that, you know, build those expectations so that you can live up to them and exceed them even.
Yep.
Whether it's at Oklahoma or at USC. And you can talk about how, you know, what happened at Oklahoma or what happened at USC. He won a Heisman Trophy and was one of the most prolific players in college football history. I mean, it is what it is. So you take a look at what those expectations are for him going forward, I think the bar is going to be not honest.
Boy, you USC'd that by calling him one of the most prolific in the history of the game.
It was. I mean, that Heisman season was one of the most prolific. It was one of the most individual prolific seasons in the history of college football. That's not a USC thing. That's just it's what it was.
It was a very good season. He won the Heisman Trophy.
When you shatter passing records and touchdown records at USC that has multiple Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, it's one of the most prolific seasons in college football history.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of them that have been there.
Yes. It's my point.
Okay.
It's not USC. It's
I don't think he was the most prolific in 5 years. Joe Burrow.
Okay. Well, yes. I said one of.
But I know what you're saying.
God.
I'm giving your USC honk a little bit.
It's going to be a down year. God. Coming up next, I strangled Dusty. Danny and Dusty. Well, we found a way to jinx the worst thing or the best thing going in baseball was the White Sox losing.
Yeah, you know what? The White Sox and the A's.
Yeah.
Get out of town with this.
6 runs yesterday. Didn't even come close to the over.
Top of the ninth, White Sox are losing 3-2 with 2 outs. So they could start a brand new streak
brand
today.
Brand new streak.
Yeah. Frank Thomas had quite the quote on this. Oh, this was fantastic. Here, we got it.
This could do it.
Oh, no, that's
out to it was a heck of a ball game. Sox found a way to win. That's all we wanted in Chicago, just to win. It's hard to be the laughing stock in baseball. You know, these long losing streaks, everyone talks about it, and the rest of the national news pick up on it.
Oh,
it's easy conversation. It's easy news. So now, turn the page, move on.
They still are the laughing stock of baseball.
That hasn't changed. There's no amount of eugenics.
And that's with
that.
The A's around.
One game did not change it. But you know what it did give us? Probably the loudest F. John Fisher chants that were heard on TV.
Which, fantastic. I mean,
it was crystal clear. When the A's lose the game to the White Sox that could have kept history going, the few fans that were there last night, they were cheering F. John Fisher. It was crystal clear through the broadcast.
And they don't dump it. Great.
They couldn't. You couldn't have zero sound. It's the ambient sound of the stadium. There's nothing they could do.
What's going on live to the crowd?
It was just, glorious. But screw you, White Sox and A's.
Mm-hmm.
The over, it was there for the taking. And they just couldn't take it. No. You hate to see it.
Truly terrible.
New streak has officially started, though. The A's have finished off the White Sox.
Oh, no, they suck again.
3-2. So now they are 1-22 over their last 23 games.
So either tomorrow or Friday, I'll have the trophies.
Ooh, I like this.
We'll have the trophy bracket face-off. The best trophies in college football.
I am so in on this. Okay. There's a lot of really good ones.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, the Golden Hat is pretty dang good.
Yeah.
I mean, that one is up there with Texas, Oklahoma. All right. I'm looking forward to this. All right. Coming to the next 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.